That, of course, is the theme for 2013, for such a time as this. And January, it was a time for unity. February, it is a time for love, a time for love. This morning, preached on the Savior's love. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the source of love, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, verse 16, and verse 19. 1 John chapter 4. 8, 16, and 19. Again, this morning, talking about the Savior's love. What an amazing thought that God loves us. And then tonight, the source of love. 1 John 4 and verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. God is love. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Again, verse 8 says, God is love. Verse 16, God is love. And then verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. We will learn tonight, and most of us really have a pretty good idea, that we can't love him. Until we've experienced his love. We can't love others until we've accepted his love, accepting him as our Savior, because he is the source of love. Father, I pray that you'll bless tonight, that you'll speak to our hearts and give us exactly what we need. Help us to pay close attention tonight, not only now to the preaching, but also in a few minutes as we observe the Lord's Supper. May we think about you and think about your wonderful, wonderful love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you ever talk to a lot of people about their religion and that, and especially as you get out into the world and that, most religions have very demanding gods. Again, I'm talking about small g kind of gods. They're very demanding. They will emphasize sacrificing children, sacrificing different things. People always have to do all these different sacrifices for some hope of eternity. Of course, all the different cults and religions and everything, it's basically a works kind of a salvation, if you want to call it that, because there is no salvation by works. But they're very demanding gods. It would be a very demanding God that would offer salvation but then take it away. That would be a very demanding kind of a God. Terrorists, of course, they're gods. Whatever terrorist you might be, you know, whatever God you might, small g, be worshiping, you know, you have to have bombs strapped on you and do all these kind of things and everything. And the service is out of fear. Somehow, this leader or the group leader, the religious leader, the leaders from the past or their writings or whatever, they have these demanding gods or a demanding God that has them serving out of fear. If you tonight believe you can lose your salvation, basically you're doing everything out of fear. And all of that, again, that is not the way God planned it. They're serving out. In other words, I've got to do this or else I'll be lost. If I don't do these things, then I'm lost. Now, obviously, we preach a lot about doing and being busy and soul winning and serving God and doing right and all those kind of things. But the truth of the matter is, none of that has to do with your salvation. And it never has. You know, people will refer to independent Baptists, well, they're legalistic. No, legalism is where you have to work to be saved. And we don't believe that at all. Never have believed that. That's nowhere near what the Bible says. We believe that you're saved by grace through faith, and you trust Jesus as Savior, and then you ought to work. You ought to be busy. You ought to love God. But so many are serving out of fear. They'll give out of fear. I must do these things or else I will lose or never have any kind of salvation. They'll make deals with God. At least they think they're making deals with their small g God. But they're missing out on the best. And really it all boils down to the fact they don't understand the source of love. They don't get it. They just don't get it. They're missing out on the very best kind of a life and the best religion because they don't get it. They don't understand love. Jude 22, it says, of some have compassion. making a difference. Have compassion on people. You know, get them saved by compassion. We don't ever hold a knife up to somebody, you will get saved. By the way, we'd have a lot of converts, I'm sure. At least the records would say that. What are you going to do with that one that says I won't? Anyway, we won't deal with that. But you know, again, we're not forcing. If some have compassion, making a difference. The Bible says in Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God's goodness. In other words, seeing how good God is. By the way, your testimony is so important among the lost. How good is God? I mean, if people had to go by your testimony to see the goodness of God, what would they think of God? I'm talking about at work. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about your neighbors. I'm talking about people that you know. What would they think of God if they went solely, completely on your testimony? Because obviously they're not, perhaps won't read the Bible and they won't come to church, but they're watching you. Would they see the goodness of God? You know, as we gripe about the economy, as we gripe about our health, as we gripe about the weather, as we gripe about the game, as we gripe, you know, again, do they get to ever see the goodness of God? Well, we had some great testimonies tonight in our men's prayer time, and what a blessing just to hear the testimonies of God's goodness. Well, you know, that will lead people to repentance, the Bible says, the goodness of God, and He is good. You know, you would think that all of America would be converted just because we're in the greatest country in all the world. You'd think everybody would want to get saved. You'd think that this place would be packed every time the doors are open. You'd think every church that's preaching the truth would be packed. And yet, again, where is everybody? You know, it's the goodness of God. Some have compassion making a difference. Jude 23, it says some save with fear. Some will get saved because of the fear of hell, the fear of judgment. And sometimes that will motivate a person to get saved. Some saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. But here's the thing that you know we need to understand is God wants us to love Him. God wants you and I to love Him. Now, I'm not talking about a simple little feel-good kind of. I'm talking about God wants us to really love Him. He wants us to love Him like He loves us. And we are completely incapable of that. And I've got news for you. Fear is not the answer. That's not the answer. You want to get people to love God. They'll get saved because they're afraid of going to hell. That's why I got saved. I didn't want to go to hell. But I'll be honest with you. Fear is not going to motivate me to love God. But I'm going to tell you, God's love motivates me to love God. And that really is what we're talking about. We love Him because He first loved us. Well, once you get that, you can love God. Till you get that, you're not going to love God like He ought to be loved. Till we get that, you can't love your spouse like they ought to be loved. Till you get that, you're not going to be able to love your children like they ought to be loved. It's not possible. We can only love because He is the source of love. And we must receive Him. We need to get it. God wants, you know, the one thing God asked for, my son, give me thine heart. What's He want? He wants our love. He wants our love. He wants us to love Him. He says, my son, give me thine heart. You know, again, like a son would love a father. Here's a father who does all these things for a son. Number one, feeding him. Amen. And you know, the father doesn't do that because, you know, I'm trying to bribe my son to love me. The father does that because he's a father and because he loves the child. But boy, it's wonderful when that son says, Dad, I do love you. And it's wonderful to God when we really, really do love Him. I just want to show you four things tonight that I think will help bring this out. Number one is the reality of love. God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8, verse 16, God is love. I mean, that's the only love there is. I know the world talks about love. And you know, the worldly movies talk about love. Worldly songs talk about love. But God is love. God is, He is the source. The reality of love is only found in God. If there is no God, there is no love. There's lots of like, maybe. There's affection. There's certainly adoration. But there is no love as we understand love. No man can love God till he has God's love, till he knows God. And he knows God loves him. John leaned on Jesus, and you know, but it wasn't a matter of admiring him. Obviously, John did admire him. Notice 1 John 1:1. I mean, there's no question about an admiration there. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which are with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. I mean, he was very close to the Lord Jesus. There's no question about that. But John got it. He realized that it wasn't just, I admire him. It wasn't just, I see the miracles he does. It wasn't just, I see all that he does for me. It was that he loves me. Jesus loves me. And now I can love him. And we're not gonna love him until we get this verse. We love him because he first loved us. It's not possible. Love from fear? No. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. It's right there. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You say, you will love God, or you know, he's going to kill you. That's not where love comes from. That isn't what God wants from you and I. God doesn't want, God didn't put his hands around your throat and say, love me! Just like he doesn't do that to get you saved. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Well, then what do we do? Well, love from fear, that's not it. You know, maybe, again, before you got saved, you were afraid. That's why you went to him. That's why you realized and found out that he loved you. But no. Love from feeling. How about that? You know, well, you know how tough that would be? That's not the kind of love God wants from you and I. Feeling love? A kind of feeling? Do you know how often we'd love him then? Think about it. Tomorrow morning, if you have to shovel your way out. Do you know every time we get mad at the weather, who are we getting mad at? Not Al Gore. Who are you getting mad at? Yeah. That's it. Yeah, every time. And we've all done it. You know, we've all had the plans made and we're going to do something outdoors and we look out and it's raining. Or we go to the radar and we see the big blob coming. You know, and it's like, what are we going to do? I mean, there's already students, you know, we got a 2-hour cancel or 2-hour delay and I'm praying for lots of snow and we'll get out of school. Got a text last week on vacation at 5:15 in the morning. No school. I thought, great, don't have to go. You know, if he's looking for our feelings, that's a bad deal. But he's not. Because our feelings change. By the way, if you love your spouse feelings-wise, you're in deep trouble. No wonder your marriage is hurting. Because you just don't always feel good. Amen. You don't always feel, your heart's not always doing flip-flops like it did the first time you saw her. Yeah. And hers isn't either. I'm just saying, that's not the kind of love that God deserves, okay? By the way, we can't see him, we can't feel him. You know, well, if I love him, he'll show mercy. You know, there's people that punish themselves every day. Punish themselves to prove themselves that whatever, God, I love you, I'm going to punish myself. That he died on the cross. What an insult to him. Amen. I know Christian people, I've counseled Christian people, punish themselves because of guilt. Wait a minute, what did he die for? So you could punish yourself? No, it's not that. That's not it. It's not love from fear, love from feeling, love. If I love him, he'll show me mercy. No, none of that is true. You know what is it? It's verse 9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. That's where it is. He loved me. He loved us. That's why we had the Lord's Supper in a few minutes. He loved me. That's what it's all about, the Lord's Supper. I mean, we'll have the bread, we'll have the grape juice, and all of it is about God saying, I love you, and I loved you enough to die on a cross to pay for your sins. In verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. We need to believe that God gave his son to die on the cross for us because he loved us. Now listen to me. If you can't get that tonight, you say, preacher, we're all Christians here. Of course we get it. Honestly, we all get it. We're all saved here tonight. Now listen to me. But we don't get it so often. We don't get it. We don't get it because obviously we don't get it because clearly the Bible says that if we do get it, we love. You say, I don't get it. I'll show you. Look. He gave his son, and he it wasn't because we were lovable. We already covered that this morning. We cover it many times. He died for us while we were yet sinners. So it has nothing to do with whether we're lovable. You say, I'll just try to get myself to be more lovable. It had nothing to do with that. Nothing at all. By the way, that means if we're going to love with his love, and I'll just throw this out there, it shouldn't be based on whether somebody else is lovable either. We're just supposed to love. That's how you go soul winning. You know, you don't have time to find out if they're lovable or not. You preach in a prison. You preach at the rescue mission. You don't get a chance. People's background doesn't matter. Who cares? Why does it matter? It has nothing to do with whether they're lovable or not. You're going to love because, well, that's God's love. God's love isn't based on lovableness. I don't think that's a word, but I like it. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Even when we were dead in sins, he loved us. Now look, once we believe that he loved us unconditionally, and we get saved, then his love is like seed planted in us, in our soul, and then you can love. Until that time, you have no concept of it. It's kind of like the moon reflects the light from the sun, but it has to get it from the sun first. And you and I, we cannot reflect his love till we receive his love. It is not possible. And I receive his love and I reflect it. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It is not, I'm talking about, you can't love your loved ones. You can't love God. You can't love anyone until you receive God's love. And you grasp that he loves you. It seems like the simplest thing. Jesus loves the little children. We start seeing it when we're children. But the children get it. But we adults, it's kind of like, I don't know about that. You say, what makes you think we're struggling? Well, we're struggling because we complain about so much. If you really love God, if he loved me unconditionally, shouldn't I love him unconditionally? If I'm loving with his love, I am loving him unconditionally. And circumstances won't change it. Just like my circumstances, doesn't he keep loving you? Don't you and I keep messing up? But he keeps loving us. You see, the reality of love is it comes from God, and it is impossible. We're trying to work our own kind of like and some sort of weak sort of love ourselves. That isn't his love. Husband, love your wife. That's what God says. Do you know how impossible that is without his love? Not because wives are unlovable. It's because we're idiots. God had to tell us to. But it's a self-sacrifice. Sir, sacrifice yourself for your wife. That's what he's saying. Well, I can't do that. Jesus did that for all of us. So you can do it, but you can't do it on your own. You can't figure out a way to do it. You are going to have his love. We love him because he first loved us. The reality of love. You know, he gave man perfect environment, and I'm sure the angels all said, they'll love him now. No, they didn't. Not in a perfect environment. He allowed the captivity of the Jews, and then he restored them. And I'm sure the angel said, they'll love him now. Nope, they didn't. He'll provide all their needs, and the angels probably all got together and said, they'll love him now. And no, they didn't love him. He came to earth, and he healed many, and he performed miracles, and I'm sure the angels said, they'll love him now. But the same ones they said would love him yelled, crucify him. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. And then and only then, verse 9, 1 John 4, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And now we're at the source of love right there. The reality of love is that God sent his Son to die for us. It wasn't perfect environment. That isn't going to do it. It's not providing all the needs. That's not going to do it. It's not getting them to go across the Red Sea on dry ground. That's not going to do it. No. It's not putting us in the greatest country in all the world. That's not going to do it. It's not healing and performing miracles and blessing. And we've all been blessed over and over and over. That ain't going to do it. You know what it is? It's he sent his Son. What can you say? He sent his Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Do you believe that he first loved you? Because that's the only way you're going to love him. He first loved me. The reality of love. He loves me. The reality of love, he loves you. Number two is the reception of love. What am I going to do about that? You know, little babies respond to getting, don't they? Oh, they love it. And they demand it, actually. But we do too, though. You know, as we realize what we received, then our love grows for God as we start to get it. When you first got saved, you were excited because you were saved, but you didn't have a clue. But as we realize, as we grow, the love of God grows in us. And don't misunderstand me. You got all of it, but it grows in your life. 1 John 4 and verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And the reception of that love, it grows as I grow. How does that work? Well, it works like this. The longer I'm saved, my salvation looks better and better. Why? Because I look worse and worse. Now, if you're really growing, you'll get what I said. Whenever a person has reached a place in their life where salvation isn't precious anymore, something's wrong. Because it ought to become more and more precious to you the older you get in the Lord. And that salvation that you have is based, again, it's on the love of God. And that love ought to grow. I love you, God. And the more I realize, by the way, the more you put up with ought to make you love God that much more. Why? Because of what he has to put up with. As you're putting up with stuff, right? Forbearance, long-suffering, amen? As we're putting up with stuff, as we're dealing with a world that's a mess, do you ever find yourself saying, God, I don't know how you put up with me. And you just should. The love, again, as you receive that love of God, the more you can love. Look real quick. Luke 7. I've preached on this before. Luke chapter 7. And verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50, and when they had nothing to pay. See, neither of them had anything to pay. He frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Do you get it? It's the one that owed the most. The fact of the matter is, they both owed. But it's in our case, it's who realizes that they owed the most. When our sinfulness becomes more sinful and more sinful, we realize what he did for us. When we start becoming professional religionists, I don't know if that's a word or not, but I like it. I've grown and I've been saved now for all these years, and the Lord's Supper doesn't bring a tear to our eye. And what he did for you and what he did for me, it doesn't really register anymore. What did he say to the church at Ephesus? You've left your first love. But in reality, what's he saying? He said, it just never grew. What happened to love? Your love for God should be greater today than it's ever been. Because you're growing. But if we don't grow, why was Paul so bent out of shape in Romans 7? I want to do right. Come on, Paul. I mean, you're probably the best Christian around during that time. But he didn't see it that way. You know why? Because he read this book, and he was growing in the Lord, and he was walking with God. And when you walk with God, you see how dirty you are. Wow, God loves me. He loves me. In spite of me, he loves me. You know, as you grow, you start to get for God so loved. And I preached on that this morning. You know, a lot of Christians are at the God loved. Yeah, God loved me. I know that. You know, I God loved me. But as you grow, it starts to register. He so loved me. Amen. He so loved me. Unbelievable that he loved me. John called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. He leaned on Jesus. Remember that? He got close to Jesus. And he believed. Oh, did he ever believe that Jesus loved him? Why? Because he got close to him. And by the way, John loved him back. How do you know? On the cross, Jesus said, take care of my mother. The most precious thing on the earth, other than the salvation of our souls, but I'm saying as far as a human perspective, was his mother at the foot of the cross. Hey, John, I want to entrust you with the most precious person to me, my mother. What's he saying? He's saying, John, I know you love me. But John was a disciple that leaned on his bosom. John's a guy that said, you know what? I'm the disciple he loves. Do you feel like you're the disciple he loves? Or do you still feel like you're getting cheated all the time? You still feel like, you know, I just didn't get a good deal. My doctor says, I've got this. I've had to wear glasses all these years. I've had to wear a hearing aid. I've got a limp in my leg. My job is phasing me out. And on and on and on and all the different things. Oh, we didn't get what we wanted in the election. And all these kind of things. Or are you the guy that says, you know what? I know God loves me. Amen. Hey, John. You know I love you, but you know what? I know you love me. But you couldn't have loved me until you first realized that I love you. Do you get it? It's so simple, and yet it's so true. As I realize his love, I love. As I realize how much he loves me, the more I love him, and the more I'm capable of loving him and loving his people. As I get it, As I grow, as I read it in the scripture, as I get it with my walk with him, as I spend time, as I lean upon him, I recognize how much he loves me. As I sin and he doesn't crush me. Read your Bible. Read about Uzzah. What if it were as it was with Uzzah? Because the cart started to fall, he touched it. And he died. And what would offering time be like? Were it like with Ananias and Sapphira? We'd have to have the funeral director, Jamie'd have to have a whole lot of vaults made just during offering time. But it's not like that, is it? And how many times do we find ourselves at the end of the day saying, God, I thought that was a lot of fun, but it wasn't. It wasn't. And I'm so glad you let me live. I'm so glad that you love me. I'm so glad I can get on an altar and I can get right with you. You're starting to get it. And you're starting to be able to love. How can we love each other? It's not possible. You talk about unity. How are you going to love each other? Well, you're not on your own. It's only with His love. See, here's the thing. If you doubt God's love, if you weaken in God's love, you diminish your ability to love God or to love others. It's kind of like we doubt whenever we blame Him for something bad. Whenever something bad happens, you know? Some testimonies given in the men's prayer time of bad that God turned to good. Isn't that what He said He'd do? Hey, Esther, what are you doing there? We just sang about it. Well, she's there for such a time as this. But wasn't it Esther that said, if I perish, I perish? How do you say, if I perish, I perish? You recognize God's God. You recognize that some things happen because they're God's will. You recognize it and you know what? This may be happening. This may be going on. And this may look really bad. And I don't really feel good about it at this point, but I know this. He loves me. He loves me. I've messed up some pretty unique ways as far as with my wife and I, not between us. We don't have any mess ups there, but I've caused her some problems because of stupidity on my part. You husbands, I know none of you ever have. But we've made maybe a bad decision or something like that, and we've made life a little difficult. But you know, the amazing thing about that, I have never one time heard my wife complain about any of those times. I told you about the time, one time I bought a store, and it was on my birthday. What a deal. Boy, that was a deal. And really, it ultimately just brought her a lot of heartache. It really did. And I think about it sometimes 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and I don't want to, but I'll go back and think about that, and often it brings me to tears because I wouldn't do anything to hurt my wife. But on the other side of that, you know what? She loves me. Why does she love me? Because she knows I love her. I don't care what happens. I know God loves me. Do you know your first step to backsliding is forgetting that He loves you? You just forget. I know it. No, I know you have it written down because you have a Bible. I know we have the Lord's Supper, and He said, this do in remembrance of me, and we go through all that. But so many times we're just going through the motions. Because when we get to a place where everything bad that happens, it's bad, and I'm upset, and I can't take it anymore, and I'm mad, and I'm angry, ultimately it goes to Him. You're not going to be mad at somebody until it ends up going to God. Well, I'm mad at the president. Well, but read Romans 13. I don't like the policies, and I'm not for so many things that are going on in our world, but I'm going to tell you something. I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt, and that's why you don't hear me gripe. He loves me. And I know that. He loves me. And when we forget it, it'll be like Ephesus. Thou hast left thy first love. Thy first love. Remember, he gave, and he keeps giving. He didn't give to get our love. He gave because he loves us. Remember that. You know, when Brenda and I first met, I gave her some things trying to get her love. Oh, yeah. First Christmas after we met, I spent $70. I know. It was a lot back in those days. And I got her an alarm clock. I have no idea why. I got her a necklace. Oh, yeah, a cross necklace because she was religious. And I thought, that's going to impress her family. And I calculated all this stuff out. Got the right kind of things, you know, the practical, the alarm clock, the cross necklace. You know, how else to say you love them with jewelry or something. I don't know, it sounds like a good commercial. But anyway, got her all those nice things. But all I was doing, honestly, I was trying to get her to love me. But you all, after all these years, well, no, not really. Shh. But after all these years, now it's very obvious I give because I love her. It really, really, it takes up a lot of my time, a lot of my thinking, a lot of those early mornings just trying to show my love to her and trying to show my love to my God, that I love him because I love them. The more of his love that I receive, the more I love him, the more I'm able to love his people. You know, you grow from loving him for what he's done to loving him for who he is. The Lord's Supper tonight, I know we're going to think about what he did, but you've really started growing when you love him for who he is. He's God, and I want to please him. Number one is the reality of love. Number two, the reception of love. Number three, the result of love. You ever hear these words? I'll climb the highest mountain. That's what it'll do, right? A lot of husbands said that, and then they got mad because she burnt the supper one time, you know? I still can remember when Brenda and I were dating, and we went to the fair, and they had stuffed animals, and you had to do all the... you throw darts, and I don't remember I think I had to throw a ring onto a little doohickey thing. I don't remember which one got me. You know what I mean by got me, don't you? And anyway, she just happened to say, oh, that white buffalo is really neat. Big old white buffalo. I said, pfft. You know, and you know how the guys do, the guys in the booth, they, hey, big boy, gonna win a stuffed animal for your girl? You know how it is, and it's like, well, I think I can handle it. You know, throw a little dart, pop a balloon. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That's obvious. I mean, dart, pointy, pop balloon. I mean, it's a piece of cake, right? Ring on post, no problem. You start out at $1. Oh, that was so close. You didn't even touch it. But to them, it's always so close. Why? Because he sees that you have $10. Yeah. I'll never forget. I threw. He said, lean this time. I'm going to let you lean, all right? Give me another dollar, I'll let you. He'd have let me do anything I wanted. He'd let me stand on one leg and lean. I started leaning. Finally, he said, you know what? I really want you. I mean, I'm in this thing now about $20. He said, you know what? We'll set it up here on the counter. I'll let you slide it. See if you can. It wouldn't go on. But, you know, oh, I want the white buffalo. You know what I'm talking about. What was I trying to do? You know, that's the result of love. I mean, you'll do anything. You say, well, preacher, did you win? No, actually, $25 into that, I did not win anything. I think he gave me some little stupid little thing. You know, here, get away from me, kid. You bother me. But he didn't know that I had another $20. And actually, later on, I went back and I said, look, I said, I've got to have one of those things. Can I just buy the thing for $25? I had $45 and a white buffalo. Yeah. I think it's in the garage. We still have the thing. But you have to understand the result of love. Look at it. Scripture says this, verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Yeah. Boldness, confidence to what? To do. He did, didn't he? He hung on a cross. 39 stripes, ripping his flesh, pulling out his beard, punching his face, pulling his arms out of socket. Oh, yeah. Boldness to do. John 17, read it. He sweat blood. Yeah. His love. His love. Well, what's the result of my love then? If it's his love, then I ought to be able to do. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why do we serve God? Well, I just want people to pat me on the back. Boy, you're going to fall apart real soon. Well, I want the praise of men. You're not going to last very long. Why do we serve? God, I just want to show you that I love you because you love me. That's it. You know, as I grow in the Lord, I find out all that he puts up with, but yet he did, even though I was a sinner. He did with no expectation that I would ever receive him. No, he did. He did because he loved, and I have to do with no expectation. You know, there's guys all over the place. Oh, you know, I'll pastor a church as long as it's perfect. A lot of people, I'll take a Sunday school class. How big is it? Where's my room? And you know, what all are you going to give me? And how much can I have? You know, listen to me. That isn't how it is. God, I love you. Let me serve you. I just want to serve you. And he puts up with us. What are we willing to put up with? Because we love. Woman puts up with having a baby. Ugh. Of course, we husbands, we suffer too. But real quick, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. I'm on the last page. Some of you are really getting nervous. I can feel it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. The love of Christ, that's it. The love of Christ. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was hung on a cross because he loved me. I suppose I can put up with things. Paul did. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was left for dead. How's he do it? Love. Because the love of Christ constrains us. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, praying, weeping. It's going out when it's freezing cold and getting on that bus. It's going out in the wintertime and bringing shepherds in to church. It's taking that last bill and pulling it out and looking at it and cringing and putting it in the plate. It's saying, I surrender all, God. I surrender all. It's the love of Christ. It's the motivation. It is no question about it, no doubt about it. It's a result of love. Do you get it? Do you get it? It's not just a little chunk of bread. It's not just a little cup of juice. God loves me. In spite of me, he loves me. I should love him. I can love him. In spite of bad things, in spite of snow, in spite of below freezing temperature, in spite of saying goodbye to the sun for the winter. It's the same love that kept Jesus on the cross. I can have that love. The same love that kept him from killing the men that struck him with the rods, pulled out his beard. It's the same love. I can love like that. It's that same love. That's how we put up with one another. It's how we put up with the world. It's that same love. You know, I just want to kill everybody. Well, you missed something somewhere. You missed it. You didn't get it. You didn't get his love. Yeah. It's the same love. Back to 1 John 4. I'm almost done. 1 John 4 and verse 7. It's the same love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's the people that love. They're saved. They have his love in them. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's that love. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Can we love sinners while they're yet sinners? Can we love each other while they're yet sinners? Can you love your family members, your co-workers? Can you love them while they're yet sinners? I can. I can love the world, but I can only love the world as I understand he loves me and accept that he loves me. Can I bear someone else's burdens? I can, but only as I realize he loves me. Can I stand for him? Oh, I can stand for him as long as I realize he stood for me. Amen. Amen. You've heard the story. We've heard it told. I believe Dr. Tom Williams tells a story about the mom who was with her daughter, little child daughter who was dying of diphtheria. And the little girl looked up and she's dying. She's about to take her last breath. And she looked at her mom and she said, "Kiss me, Mommy. Please kiss me." And the mom bent over and kissed her. And later she died too of diphtheria. And you see, you know, how can you love? You can love as you realize what he did. And his love for you. I close with number four, and that is the regret of love. We've seen the reality of love, the reception of love, the result of love, and then the regret of love. And the only regret is this. When you love, you regret when you don't please the one that you love. That's the only regret. Who's that on? That's on you. I am going to do everything I can to please my wife, because I love her. I'm going to do everything I can to please my God, because I love him. When I start to slip, why is it snowing? When I start to slip, why did that have to happen? When I start to slip, who does he think? Oh, wait a minute. He's God. He's God. He loves me. God, I could never, ever blame you for anything. Yeah, there's only one regret, and that is I can't please the one that we love. God has no regrets. Do you understand that? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He did everything that had to be done. Bible says when Peter denied Christ, he went out and wept bitterly. Why? Because he loved him. He loved him and he failed him. He didn't weep because he got caught. He wept because he hurt the one that he loved. Love's regret, it's just that you hurt the one that you love. That's why the songwriter wrote, "By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more." You say, "Well, I'm really lacking in my love." Well, there's one thing to do, and that is this. Realize how much he loves you. And just revel in his love for you. Just let him love you tonight. Let him put his arms around you and love you tonight. And then, and only then, can you really love him. We love him because he first loved us. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.